Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 16, the verses 1 through 16. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 16, the first 16 verses. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, a sorrow hath filled your heart. And nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, it is for the second time on this Lord's Day that I was given the opportunity to come up to thy house of prayer, thy house of thanksgiving, where we are exhorted and where we may come a great blessing, a great privilege, where we may come with all our blessings, our desires, our needs, our sorrow, our trials, our difficulties, and with all of our sins. And our Lord, then we are called upon to confess that we are such poor petitioners, and then it is needful in thy house, with a calling upon thy most holy name, that the whole congregation, boys and girls, young and old, that they may join in with the prayers, that they may be given to sigh along. Lord, then in the midst of all the trials of life, the consequences of sin are great, then thou ye granteth many a blessing above most of the people upon the face of the earth. And may it be all thy goodness that leadeth us and our children to that godly sorrow, that true repentance, and the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, then by renewal, then we commend the mourning family unto thee, the widow, the children, the whole family circle, where we shall be called upon in the coming days to go to the cemetery to entrust his mortal remains to the earth. O Lord, do uphold, do strengthen, and do remember them all together with many mourning families in our midst, and that all the callings may be sanctified, used for the coming of thy kingdom. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thy word may be blessed in this evening hour, that it may not only enter the ears, but that it may enter the heart by the first time for true conversions, by renewal for the further leadings concerning the mysteries of salvation, that it may be for instruction, further uncovering, edification, comfort, and encouragement. Ah, Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that learn more and more that it is all of grace, called upon to faithfully use the means of grace, but it must be blessed and applied by thee. And thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee, shall also be so in this evening hour, either a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. O Lord, convert us and our dear children, as thou doth convert all thy people, possible through the work of a triune God. Commend unto thee thy church, lengthen the breadth of the earth, the established churches. We remember our theological school. Remember the student. May the numbers be increased, and to help the instructors. Oh, continue to remember and uphold, and thou was promised to do so. Thou was even written in thy word, blessed are those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. May they be given to look upon the King of the church, who has everything in his hands. We commend unto thee the beloved for the Father's sake. May the veil be removed. Remember all mission work, also our mission field, thy servant and the team. Lord, remember the manifold needs amongst us. Remember the elderly ones. The infirmities only increase. Remember our care home, the residents, and those that may lovingly care for them. Oh, above all things, when our elderly ones, when they still have an unsafe soul, still on that broad way to destruction, Lord, it is late, but it is not too late for thee. Remember all the sick and afflicted ones, those undergoing treatments, with the consequences, the weakness, the side effects thereof. May thou uphold them, and may the means be blessed. Remember those that have much pain, struggling with weariness of the body, and other difficulties. May it please thee to encourage them. Remember all the crosses and the burdens. We commend unto thee the handicapped ones, and do remember those that struggle with depression, where it can all seem so dark and so impossible. Oh, may thee then be given to look unto thee, to open thy holy word, and to bow their knees. Remember and bless the family circles. May love abound. Thy word have a special place. Remember those that struggle with addictions and temptations. Ah, may they be given to cry unto thee, using the means that they may be delivered, but also to cry unto thee that they may be forgiven. Lord, continue to provide for the daily bread, for the family circles, then we commend unto thee all the suffering ones, the hungry ones, the destitute ones, the homeless ones, the countries where there is war, where there is so much mourning and so much destruction, the great multitudes in hospitals, many in prison, and then the untold numbers that have not thy word, and other great numbers that had thy word, but who have willfully departed from thy word and from the truth thereof, and all, Lord, then thou granteth unto us and our children so much. And it is written, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. Remember the nations of the earth, also our nation, when we have departed so far from thee and from thy word, the consequences are being experienced. Lord, keep us and our dear children with the old truth and with the old ways, and that thou may work richly and mightily by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. We humbly ask thee for thy gracious help in this hour. We are called upon to speak upon a profound mystery, the Trinity, one God, three persons. And then we do well, as the angel has said unto Moses, put off thy shoes from thy feet, where the ground where thou standest, that it is holy. May thou grant to that end, that we may be given to believe what we speak, and so speak what we believe. Oh, impress it upon all our hearts, thy greatness, thy majesty, and thy glory, that we are thy creation. Thou hast our heartbeat and our breath in thy hand, and when thou removest thy hand, then we are no more. Thou art a God that is just, but also merciful, where thou still profferest peace and pardon to us and our dear children. But, Lord, thou knowest how deep we have fallen and how dead we have become. And from our side, it is so hopeless. But now the wonders of grace, thou art still gathering thy church by word and by spirit. How wilt thou do it in this evening hour, that it may be heard that sons and daughters are born in Zion, but also in Advent Church, that he may receive something from thee. Lord, we have much to lay before thee. Wilt thou remember everything that we forget? Bless what stands in need of thy blessing, and may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Pardon us of our great and many sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 255, the four stanzas. And now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise. And to the rock of our salvation, loud hosannas let us raise. And what follows, 255, the four stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 8, the question and answers 24 and 25. Question 24, how are these articles divided? Answer, into three parts. The first is of God the Father and our creation. The second of God the Son and our redemption. The third of God the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. Question 25, since there is but one divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Answer, because God has so revealed himself in his word, that these three distinct persons are the one only true and eternal God. Lord's Day number 8 speaks of faith in the divine Trinity, with two thoughts in the first place, one holy word, and 12 formulated articles, and secondly, one divine essence and three distinct persons. Faith in the divine Trinity, one holy word, and 12 formulated articles, and one divine essence, and three distinct persons. Beloved congregation, the first question of our Heidelberg Catechism, and our boys and girls can maybe remember, what is thy only comfort in life and death? And then we do well to oftentimes pause, young and old. We have experienced, we do not all become old. Whether we have now received that comfort by the grace of God. When we come to the month of December, that always has something special to say, even for our boys and girls, because we know that the month of December is the last month of the year. Reminds us how quickly our time goes, and that everything comes to an end, and we do not know whether we shall be here at the end of this year. And then we do well, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? And then we have already heard of marvelous things. Oh, it is true. Our deep fall, our sins, our depravity. But we have also heard of a mediator. And now we have also heard of the way to obtain that comfort, and that is by true saving faith, and that is a gift of God. Oh, young and old, the Lord, He still holds out the white flag of peace and of pardon. And in this Lord's Day, it is a deep mystery, but in this Lord's Day, a way lies declared whereby sinners can be saved. It speaks of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. If the Lord was singular, then there would be no hope for us and our children. Then even for a sinner to approach a holy God without a Son and without a Spirit, then such a sinner would immediately have to be slain, even daring to question the infinite justice of God. But now, because God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Lord can show mercy, and therein lies our only hope. Oh, young and old, do earnestly seek, beg, faithfully use the means, forsake the world, forsake sin, and cry mightily unto the Lord, that the means of grace may be blessed, and that you may be given to experience the wonderful things of the Lord. Then you shall be ruined, for the world does not mean that people does not have trouble with the world and with the temptations. And then it is so necessary when the Lord begins that He grants those further leadings, because concerning the Trinity, then we may differentiate between a soul receiving the gifts, experience the works, and coming to a knowledge of the three persons. And now in this Lord's Day, and also the last two questions of Lord's Day 7, then there is stress laid, then there is pointed to the Holy Word of God, because we read in answer 25, because God has so revealed Himself in His Word. And in Lord's Day number 7, they're the same expression, but also all things promised to us in the gospel. Thus then the instructors, they are pointing us to God's word, and that was the first watchword of the reformers in the Reformation, sola scriptura. That means, boys and girls, Scripture alone. Oh, Martin Luther, on the Diet of Worms in 1521, when he has stood before the great ones of the earth, then he has declared, unless I am shown and convinced out of God's holy word, I may and I cannot recant. Thus the importance for the church that we have God's word as our rule, our guide. The Heidelberg Catechism was formulated and finished in the year that the Council of Trent of the Roman Catholic Church because of the Reformation, they were forced to address what they have taught the people, and that council had sittings not continual from 1545 to 1563. And in that council, they have spoken of many different matters, but now concerning the Word of God, then the first point was that the Vulgate translation, that would be the translation of the Bible that they based all their doctrinal points upon. And that was also a crucial point. And to that end, the importance that we and our children, that we stay with the King James Version in the church, but also in our family circles. And of course, in the Dutch, we have the Statenvertaling, because there is a great difference. Much evidence that in the early church that there have been scribes that have corrupted the Word of God, and that concerns especially the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ of His blood, which He has shed to save sinners in the New Testament, then in those corrupted manuscripts, then many times it is deleted or minimized. And we have told you, in those corrupted manuscripts, there are even portions that have been left out, the last 8 verses of Mark, although all modern translations do not dare to leave it out, but they shall add a footnote and say this does not really belong to the Bible. And we have heard not so long ago with the explanation of the Lord's Prayer that in modern translations the doxology, "For thine is the power, the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever," that is deleted. Thus the importance that we hold, of course, only the original Bible, which the authors have written, that was perfect. A translation is never perfect, but nevertheless we must always remember. Thus let it not be in our families that we think we need another translation, that our children can understand. It is very remarkable that for many centuries the first newer translation that has come into print in 1885, and our King James Version, 1611, the Geneva Bible, also sound in 1560. And then they tell us in our day that for all those centuries, they did not have the pure Bible. That has come in 1885. And when we think of those centuries, how richly the Lord has blessed this church, applying the Word by the Holy Spirit. Thus, in our day, they tell us that even the Heidelberg Catechism, many proof texts, that they had a wrong Bible, and therefore may that be impressed upon all of our hearts and concerning to understand in those centuries the people did not have the schooling that we did. Boys and girls, many could not even go to school, but they have understood the King James Version, the profound language that it was the Lord speaking. And in the Lord's remarkable providence, in 1948, a few boys looking for their goat on the northwest shore of the Dead Sea, then many scrolls have been found to confirm that the Old Testament, that we have the pure Bible. Thus, sola scriptura, not what we think, what we feel, but what saith the Lord. That is what the instructors, of course, each Lord's Day, the Heidelberg Catechism has about 700 proof texts, but then also in this Lord's Day, concerning true faith, and in our Lord's Day concerning the Trinity, then they are pointing to the Holy Word of God. That is a precious gift that the Lord has given unto mankind. Inspired, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, written by approximately 40 authors, many prophecies that have been fulfilled, still unfulfilled prophecies, and that what wonderful things are written therein. It tells us, congregation, oh, in the beginning, God's perfect creation, our deep fallen Adam, but it declares that there is a way for us and our children to be saved, and that is only possible because of a triune God. And now our forefathers, they have written different creeds to declare the truths of God's word. And then in Lord's Day 7, there is spoken of the Apostles' Creed. In our Psalter, we have three. We have heard on Thursday evening that in our confession of faith, that we ascribe to those three. And then we must remember that those creeds and also our doctrinal standards, they were written because of error, many times in times of persecution, and they have sealed those creeds with their blood. And then we have, in addition to the apostles, the 12 articles, the Creed of Nicaea, that was written, formulated at a synod in 325, and that especially concerned the heir of Arius, where that man, he focused on that word, the begotten of the Father. And then Arius has said what that word begotten, that means there was a time, and those are deep mysteries, there was a time that Christ was not there. Thus Christ was not from eternity. He was the first created creature, and that error has spread through the church. And then we see how important it is that we compare scripture with scripture, because heretics, they also have their texts. But that we need to compare scripture with scripture, and that our forefathers have done. And then at that council, it seems the final edition at the Synod of Constantinople in 381. And then we also have the Creed of Athanasius, That is a summary of the first four councils in the first centuries, ascribed to Athanasius because he has fought against that great heir of Arius. But then we also have the 12 articles. And they were not written each by an apostle. Because when you trace history, then it seems that the full 12 articles as we have them, that they can be traced to about the 6th century. Seems it has begun when people were drawn out of heathenism and they were ready to be baptized. Then they were given to make a short confession concerning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And as errors have crept into church, so finally the church has come to 12 articles. Sometime you meet people when you come with creeds and with doctrinal standards. Then they come with the confession, we have the Bible. That is sufficient. What saith the Word of God? But usually underneath lies, because what does the church learn? That we are so ignorant concerning the things of the Lord. And many times it sounds very orthodox, but they want nothing to do with creeds because they desire to interpret the Word of God according to their own understanding, their desires, and their feelings. And we have stated it many times, our creeds in former generations, they were sealed with the price of blood. They were led to the stake. They have compared Scripture with Scripture. And so the creeds were formulated, it is true. The 12 articles, very concise. They are ascribed to nearly all Christian religions that believe in the Trinity, and therefore it needs the explanation. And now in the 12 articles, they are Trinitarian, speaks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We may divide them. The first article, God the Father, the articles 2 through 8 through 7, God the Son, the 8th article, God the Holy Spirit, and many times the last 4 are included with the 8th, although Calvin and other ones, they have spoken of the articles 9 through 12, the benefits which Christ has merited for his church and which are granted by the Holy Spirit. And now we have heard in the last Lord's Day, what is then necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic, and that word Catholic, boys and girls, then maybe we think of the Roman Catholic Church, but that word Catholic, that means universal, undoubted, not to be questioned, based upon the Scriptures, Christian faith briefly teach us. And now the first article, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. But now our instructors, before they go over to the first article, Then they speak of the Trinity. That is our second thought. Let us first sing Psalter 252, the four stanzas. Jehovah sits enthroned in majesty most bright, appareled in omnipotence and girded round with might. 252, the four stanzas. of faith in the divine Trinity, one holy word and 12 formulated articles, and secondly, one divine essence and 3 distinct persons. Since there is but only one only divine essence, one God. A Jewish boy's very early, 4 or 5 years old, they tell us that they are called upon to learn the text out of Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Our instructors have not addressed whether there is a God. The time of the Reformation, then nearly all people believed that there was a God in the heavens who ruleth over the earth. Alas, alas, in our day, where there has been such a departing from God's holy word, there are many, we call them atheists. They try to tell us that there is not a God. What do we read in Psalm 14, verse 1? The fool believes in his heart that there is no God. That is not what we read. The fool says in his heart that there is no God. And our young people, they know it. Also our older ones. When Reverend Hellenbrook, when he was speaking the lesson on God, the knowledge of God, that innate knowledge, how was it then possible that there are those that do not believe in God? And then he has simply answered, that is more a desire than a belief. On account of pride, and when there is no God, then I can do what I want, not responsible, not accountable. There shall be no judgment. What an awakening it shall be for those people that have tried to make themselves believe that there is no God. What awakening it shall be at the day of their death, when they shall be called upon to appear before God. Thus we can speak theoretical atheists, those that in their mind they have done their best to convince themselves that there is no God. But we can also speak of practical atheists, those that with their mind know it, have the Bible, but then it can be that such people that they live upon the earth as if there is not a God in his justice, all his attributes, that they only live for the time, that they do not really believe that they shall even die. Is that our picture, congregation? Under the truth of baptized forehead, but that we are so little busy with the things of the Lord. We live upon the earth as if this is our eternity. Oh, do beg the Lord then for the work of the Spirit, that God may become a living and a real God in our life, exercised with all his attributes, and with the beggar's prayer, Lord, may I now be reconciled with thee. It is so terrible to live as an enemy to the Lord. Then that great, that majestic God, in the first place, he is to be profoundly reverenced. In the second place, ardently loved. In the third place, willingly obeyed. In the fourth place, uprightly worshipped. And in the fifth place, continually praised. Five profound thoughts, Lord, as a right. Created us perfectly. He is our creator. He is our benefactor. It is true. The trials, the difficulties, the sorrow is great. But what a blessings and what a privileges that he grants. Can you remember a few of those points? My unconverted fellow travelers, turn it into a prayer. The Lord, as a people, when they are quickened and that love is shed abroad in their heart, oh, it is true, ashamed, bitter things to write against himself, but they may have a beginning. That profound reverence before that great God. Oh, they are given to say with the Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Oh, they are given to worship. They are given to obey because they have received a willing heart. It is not a burden, becomes their delight. And they may have a little beginning with that praise. And how is that now possible? Through a work of a triune God called the Trinity. Boys and girls, we can divide that word into two. Adding a letter, tri, that means three, and unity, thus one God and three persons, cannot be proven out of nature, not contrary to nature, as Reverend Hellenbrook says. Elihu has declared in Job 36, verse 26, God is great, and we know him not, thus cannot be fathomed, but needs to be believed and experienced. And then the instructors because that God has so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one only true and eternal God. And the Old Testament clearly declared, more clearly in the New Testament, that is already declared in the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Then you shall say, where do we now find that God consists of more persons? Then in the Hebrew there are two words for God, El and Elohim. El, that is singular, Elohim, that is plural. Thus, when we read in the first verse of the Bible that God created, then it is the plural. That tells us that there is more than one person. It is true, it does not tell us how many. And already in the second verse, that the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And when we consider John, the first three verses, where Christ is called the Word, and that the world was also made by him. Oh, then in Genesis 1, the verses 26 and 27, God said, let us make man in our image. Thus then God speaks of us and our, in the plural. It points to more persons. And then there are many texts, different texts, where it is declared, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We shall not mention so many. We have heard some of them explained on Thursday evening when we have read together from Article 9 from our Confession of Faith, which speaks of the Trinity. When we think of the Aaronic benediction, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, then we read three times, Lord, and that we may trace the works of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Psalm 110, Isaiah 61, many texts in the Old Testament that speak of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and more clear in the New Testament. Then we shall mention two matters that our boys and girls can understand it. We soon hope to commemorate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because boys and girls, who was now given a son? Then you shall say, that was the Father. And then the Son, he was born in the stable. And then we read, that is a little more difficult for our children, in Luke 1 verse 35, that Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So then in the birth of Christ, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then we shall give another simple example. Matthew 3, the verses 16 and 17. That was with the baptism of Christ. And then our children know it, that Christ the Son, he was baptized. We read that the Spirit has ascended in the likeness of a dove, and the Father has spoken, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Many more texts think of the command which Christ has given to his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Could mention 1 John 5, verse 7, there are three that bear record, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And if a Jehovah Witness would come to the door, and you would mention that text, and they would open their Bible, then they would say that text is not in our Bible. Because in the corrupted manuscripts, they have taken that text out. Thus clearly proven from the Scriptures, a mystery which we cannot fathom, and now concerning the Trinity, then we must not understand that each of the persons is a third of God, but each person coessential, a co-eternal. In the early church, there were some that thought, and that taught concerning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that it was only a different mode of appearing, the one time as the Father, the other time as the Son, and another time as the Spirit. We must understand they are all from eternity, not a first or last, the one is not more glorious. And each of the persons, then all the essential attributes, they are ascribed to all three persons. Both the incommunicable, our young people know what that is. Those are attributes where there is no resemblance in man. To give an example, the omnipresence of the Lord. Man is only at one place. Thus both the incommunicable and the communicable, although as they are in God, there is no resemblance. Then all three persons, those essential attributes, they possess them. But then each person has their personal properties. The Father is self-existent. The Son is begotten, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and from the Son. And now the articles are divided. First, of God the Father and our creation. That means that the work of creation and providence in the economy of the Trinity is especially ascribed to the Father, but it does not exclude the other two persons. The Son, that he is begotten, must not literally understand it. We read of that term, especially in the Gospel of John, John 1 verse 14, John 3 verse 16, and the Holy Ghost concerning our sanctification. Does not mean that the works are limited. When the instructors speak of those things, does not exclude the other three persons. When we think of the Spirit, oh, he is such a wonderful Spirit. His wonderful works regenerates, uncovers, quickens, comforts, encourages, and seals. And now it is necessary, congregation, in the Creed of Athanasius, it begins and it ends, if we are not given to believe in those truths, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, then we are eternally lost. And now it is needful, oh, may we be given to beg much, that we may be taught by the Spirit. And when the Lord begins, then we have to do with God and all His attributes. And then the Spirit teaches us what sinners we are. Oh, that separation and that distance. Ah, then those souls are given to cry and to beg. And so bound in the covenant of works, that we shall try to save ourselves. How does the child of God now learns that it is grace and grace alone? When he becomes worked out, that his best duties are polluted with sin, a heavenly high debt, which he can never pay. Oh, then it is true, we have mentioned it. Then in the experience, then they receive special gifts. Think of Rebecca. Oh, a beautiful type, the servant believed to be Eliezer, a type of the Holy Spirit. Then when that servant has met Rebecca, he has given her precious gifts, that she may be won over. But she had to learn who those gifts are from. And so when the Lord begins, they receive many special gifts from Christ. They experience the work of the Spirit. Then it is needful and beneficial that they are led into the works of the Trinity to be given to experience. But now in the further leadings to come to a knowledge of the person, we shall mention the disciples have sat at the feet of Jesus under the instruction of Jesus. We have read a few verses out of John 16, how profoundly in the chapters 14 through 16 there is spoken of the Trinity. Christ has said there were many things that they could not bear at the moment. And now those disciples, they have received many gifts and experienced many wonderful works. But now on Good Friday was the payday for the church, and Easter the application, the justification of the sinner, because we read in Romans 4, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And then with ascension, heaven open, brought back to the Father heart of God. And on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit, the sealing work, to receive a knowledge of the person. This congregation, because there is a Trinity, it is possible for us, for you to be saved, but it needs to be experienced. Oh, may we be given to earnestly cry unto that great God, that He may show us those wonderful things. It is well for the time, then it shall be well for eternity. We shall close with what Peter has written in 1 Peter 1 verse 2 at the beginning of his epistle, where he is given to speak of the Trinity, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience of the sprinkling of the blood, In Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank Thee for another Lord's Day, called upon to speak upon profound things. Wilt Thou teach them to us, that we may receive that only comfort. Lord, we may commence another week. What this week holds in is unknown unto us. We humbly ask Thee, may be according to Thy will, to spare us, to keep us, keep from harm and danger. And then once more, we lay before Thee the mourning family. Remember them tomorrow evening, when many shall come to extend their condolences. And Lord, those who have experienced it, they shall understand. But with all the condolences, that place remains empty. Oh, do remember and uphold the widow, the children, the whole family circle, when we are called upon to go to an open grave. Lord, grant a word to speak. May it be sanctified. May we be given to hasten for our life's sake to receive that only comfort. Wilt Thou now bring us safely to our dwellings. Be the faithful keeper Israel that watches over us in this night. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 246, the stanzas 1 and 2. O, teach Thou us to count our days, and set our hearts on wisdom's ways. Turn, Lord, to us in our distress, and pity now Thy servants bless. And what follows, 246, 1 and 2. they save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.